I was working for a small carton factory that hired me back in 1999 to help prepare their systems for the so-called Y2K bug. It wasn't too stressful, seeing that they didn't really have any systems that could be affected by the Y2K bug. I mean, honestly, just a simple network with a couple printers. From the company's perspective, it looked pretty great, considering that none of the systems went down. I mean, I knew that they weren't going to in the first place, but... So yeah, I mean, the boss would sit in the office all day watching these internet blurbs about, you know, thieves and hackers and, you know, just businesses being taken down by these online criminals. He was convinced he needed this type of protection, so that's why he kept me around. Not that I did much of that, but, you know, I needed a job. And they had one for me, and I did a great job. Outside of trying to maintain the network, I was getting involved in other things like ordering office supplies, paper, pens, markers, tape, staples, paper clips. The janitor kind of passed on me ordering some of his supplies, so I was getting floor soap, and I'd deal with the propane guy that came to fill the tanks for the forklifts. But outside of that, you know, I got to stick to writing my book, and nobody would bother me. So it started out as me just trying to write a couple of short stories, and the words just kept flowing out of my pen. And the next thing I known, 3 years had gone past. I couldn't focus on anything else at work. I would just write and write and write. I mean, I was going through ink pens and paper like you wouldn't believe. About 90% of it was by hand, and other times I'd be on the computer pretending to be doing work, but I was actually still writing my stories. It was flowing right through my pen, and I knew I had something special because I could see the ending of the story. I just couldn't stop writing until I got to the end, but there was so much that had to take place until I got to the end. I only wrote while at work. I was usually so drained by the time I got home because I would spend so many hours at work. No one knew that I was working on the story. It was something I held to myself. I started hiding chapters all over my office. There was chapters in the lab drawer, chapters in the file cabinet, chapters under the printer. I even had boxes I was storing in the back file closet. So after about 5 years in, I realized that what I was writing could be the next great American novel. I don't even feel like I was writing it. I feel like I was just the medium. I've never written in my life beforehand. Only in school. I did not read a lot of books either. It all came so easily. 3 years deep, I would say I was about 3,500 pages. They were definitely hidden about in the office, but they were kept in order by chapter. No one knew about it at 3 years. No, definitely not. Yeah, absolutely. The boss knew I was doing everything possible to prevent any online criminal activities. So normally I'd get in about 5:45. Turn on all the lights in the warehouse. I usually open up because I got there before everyone. Walk back to my office. Turn on the computer, turn on the lights. Shut the blinds and take a few deep breaths. I'd read a few of the pages that I ended off with the prior day just so I could get myself in the mood. Then I'd start off with some work email, and here and there I'd try to get some work done, but I'd be called back to the book. Before I knew it, it'd be 5 o'clock at night and I'd written another 100 pages. Exhausted from writing, my hands would hurt, but I'd have this feeling of accomplishment because I knew I was one day closer to the novel, to the Labrador. The name of the book was The Labrador. I just knew that I had to get this book out and in people's hands. I felt like it could change people's lives. Yeah, it took me about 9 years and 4 months to complete the book. As you know, it all ended in turmoil. But you really couldn't tell much difference between year three and say a year eight and a half. It was, every day was pretty much the same thing. Just writing and writing. Towards the beginning of year nine, I shared it with a young lady at the company, and that ultimately is what led to me being terminated. Well, she was one of the new hires at the office around that time. She was quite a looker. A few of the other fellas at the warehouse had definitely done their best to court her. I noticed that she had been showing some interest. I think it had something to do with the confidence that was coming off of me because of the novel. Eventually, we began to talk, and she got it out of me that I was writing The Labrador. I had the blinds closed, as I would on a normal day. On this particular day, I had about 15 chapters spread out because I was referencing different time periods in the novel. She just came bursting through the doors to tell me about something that had happened to her that day, and she saw all of the chapters and, you know, Lara, what the hell is going on here? I asked her to shut the door behind her. I pretty much let her know what had been going on for the past 9 years. I wanted to share with her because the novel was actually almost complete by this time. This was about 9 years and a month and a half in. I told her that I was probably about another good month from finishing it. Genuinely, she seemed pretty excited and happy for me. But that didn't turn out to be the case. Once Meredith had discovered that there was some new openings in upper management, at the time there was a bit of a hubbub about the budget being blown out for office supplies. She took it to management that she knew where most of these supplies were going. Well, after I had left from work one day and locked up my office and went home, I came back the next morning to find that the door had been opened and all of my chapters had been removed from the office. management had come in and ransacked the office. This was when the office was ransacked is actually when the novel was complete. We were at about 9,762 pages. Completely done. So shortly after I was terminated, it was brought to my attention that the company was filing a civil suit. Not only were they suing me for the cost of all of the used supplies, they were also suing me for the past 9 years' salary. So altogether, they were suing me for about $460,000 in back salary and about $3,500 in supplies. They confiscated the novel. Yeah, there was many nights I didn't. It was definitely tough. I poured my whole heart into that book. And now with no insurance and being unemployed, and my unemployment was denied as well. It was a low point in my life. It was horrendous. Many sleepless nights. A lot of tears. A lot of headaches.
And I get this number four of the week. Guy from Bolingbrook, Illinois.
It definitely set a precedent for companies across the United States. This sort of thing had never been done before. It was their way of fighting back. I wasn't popular amongst the working man, to say the least. There was a lot of people that were out in protest of the guy that had a job and squandered it away, so they said. But if they would have just known that what I was writing was gonna eventually change all of their lives, I think they would have seen it differently. Yeah, I couldn't get the book back. I definitely did not have that amount of money saved up. I knew I had to get the money. I knew I had to get the book. I had to get the book back. I had to get the Labrador. I tried picking up odd jobs off of Craigslist. You name it, I was doing it. Anything for cash, but nothing was getting the money quick enough. I didn't have a plan. So I was trying everything that I could find online, you know, earn quick cash here, flip houses, you know, everything where you gotta send them $100 just to get started. And just when I had hit rock bottom, I came across this program by a guy. It was about making music, and all you needed was a computer, and all I had was a computer. So I figured, what the hell? I tried my hand at it, made some music, and I started posting them up on Craigslist. It wasn't even a matter of a couple days. It was honestly a few hours later. I'd gotten messaged by a fellow named Kenny. He really liked the beats. He really liked the music. So included in the package was this nifty little program called the Name Generator. And so basically what you do is you insert your first name, your last name, and the town you live in, and it'll spit out a stage name for you and a town that you should claim. So I put Laryld in there. I put Bolingbrook, and ever since then, I've been known as DJ Rafal.
DJ Rafal.
From Romeoville, Illinois.
Romeoville, Illinois.
P.O. Box 6969.
P.O. Box 6969.
Rafal Tracks at AOL.com.
Rafal Tracks at AOL.com.
Rafal Tracks at AOL.com.